Good morning, friends, and welcome to the Let the Bible Speak program brought to you by the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ. I'm so glad that you have chosen to spend some time with us this morning studying the Word of God. And if you are a mother listening, let me say Happy Mother's Day to you. We need to appreciate our mothers and the hard work that they do. And we need to honor them not just this day, but each and every day. The Apostle Paul, in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1 and 2, encourages children to both obey their parents and to honor them. And it's certainly good to do that. Long before the man-made holiday of Mother's Day and Father's Day, God has made it critical to honor our father and our mother, even going back to one of the Ten Commandments. And so, if you're a mother listening, you are to be honored this day and each and every day. This morning, later on this morning, at the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ, I will be presenting a Mother's Day lesson from God's Word. And if that's something that you would like to hear, we would invite you to come to the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ and hear that lesson. We would be glad to have you. We live in a very rich and prosperous nation. And even though we've been hit hard with the coronavirus, we are rebounding economically now. But even during the pandemic that has hit us, we continue to be a very rich and prosperous nation. And so this morning, I want us to talk about how we should be living in the day of prosperity. If you'll turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 14 in just a moment, I want to read from that passage of Scripture. Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 14. We live in a very prosperous world, and I'm afraid that that prosperity has caused many people to ignore God. And God is not a part of their life. The Bible, prayer, attending a church service, obeying the gospel, becoming a Christian, living faithfully each day, that's not on their radar. That's not a priority with them. What's a priority is money and material things. And because we live in such a prosperous nation, I wanted to bring a lesson this morning dealing with that very thing. And I want to talk about five admonitions that are given from Scripture that we need to consider during the day of prosperity. And we're certainly in that day. You know, the devil can use both adversity, like in the case of Job, or prosperity, like in the case of the rich young ruler, to lead us away from God. He tried to get Job to leave God through adversity, and of course, Job persevered and did not do that. The rich young ruler, however, when Jesus said, "You can give what you have to the poor and come follow me," he didn't want to do that because he was rich, and he went away sorrowful because he had great riches and didn't want to give up anything. So we've got to be very careful about that. In Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 14, Solomon writes, "In the day of prosperity, be joyful, and in the day of adversity, consider. Yea, God has made the one side by side with the other, to the end that man should not find out anything that shall be after him." God gives us both days of prosperity and days of adversity. And we've experienced some of that over this past year. God gives us both of those, and in both of those, we need to come to God and be faithful to God. There are some people that through adversity quit God, and there are some people in the day of prosperity, they never come to God, or if they do, they quit God. And so the devil can use both. The latter part of that verse probably means something to the effect that because God gives both adversity and prosperity, we don't know what is going to come in the future. It'll either be prosperity or adversity. And because it could be either one, and we don't know which one it will be, we should always put our trust in God. But we live in a very prosperous nation. Do you know that the median household income is around $68,000? That's a lot of money, not only just within our own economy and our own nation, but even compared to other nations. We need to consider how much we really have in this country and how prosperous we really are. In fact, the average net worth of a person in the United States, when you add in their house and their cars and their money and everything they own, their possessions, it's around $178,000. The next richest country in the world is Switzerland, at around $128,000 average net worth of the citizen. Not only does the average person in this country make a lot of money, but on average, we are richer than any other nation in the world. And so the day of prosperity, I believe, really is something that we can relate to. And even those who have been hit by this recent pandemic, even some of them are still very prosperous and have a lot of things compared to the rest of the world. I've been seeing some news reports lately about the COVID virus in India. And when they show those pictures of people just even in their hospital facilities and nice urban areas, you can tell that they are much poorer than we are. Americans are a prosperous people. We need to consider how much we really have. And we don't need to deny this. And we don't need to act like it doesn't affect people, because it does. Our rich and prosperous nation has caused many people to become secular and atheistic and ungodly. They don't believe in God. And so I want us to look at five biblical admonitions concerning prosperity. And you may find where one or more of these would be helpful to you. I know they are helpful to me. But the big picture of this is that we do not need to let our prosperity stand in the way to the point where we do not believe in God and obey God. And that's really what is happening among so many people in our nation today. You see, some of the most ungodly, secular people are some of the most wealthy people. Some of the people who are advocating immoral things are very rich. Some people who are using their power to oppress others are very rich. Riches has become a god, an idol to many people, and we'll be talking about that later. And it has led people down a secular path away from God. Another passage that comes to my mind with regard to both riches, prosperity, and being poor, the opposites there, is Proverbs chapter 30, verses 8 and 9. That comes to me, where this is a great sentiment to have, and we need to mark it down. Proverbs 30, we'll start with verse 7 through 9. Two things I have asked of thee, deny me them not before I die. So the proverb writer is asking God, God, give me these two things. Number one, remove far from me falsehood and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is Jehovah? Or lest I be poor and steal and use profanely the name of my God. Look at that verse 9. Lord, please keep me away from poverty. It would cause me possibly to steal and profane the name of God, where I'm cursing God that you've given me this poverty. But keep me away from riches, because I could get so full that I would deny you and say, who is Jehovah or the Lord? And that's what's going on among people in this rich country of ours. they are saying, who is the Lord? I don't care about him. I don't know him. I'm not going to follow him. I've got my riches, my cars, my home, my money, my wealth. I don't need God. Who is Jehovah? And I believe that is a major problem in our nation today. And friend, if you honestly look at your life and say, you know, I have been focused on prosperity rather than on God, I hope this lesson will help you. So, what are the five biblical admonitions that we want to consider this morning? Well, number one, in the day of prosperity, and if we're living in a nation of prosperity, and we are, number one, stay humble. Stay humble. The tendency of the rich is to take credit for their prosperity and let it go to their head. And they become proud and puffed up and arrogant. And we need to be very careful about that, because it is God ultimately that helps us to gain these kinds of things. And we need to give him credit for that. Turn with me to Psalm 49 and verse 6. Psalm 49, verse 6. They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother. Notice that trust and boasting often goes with riches. Look at Psalm 52 and verse 7. Lo, this is the man that made not God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches, and strengthened himself in his wickedness. We've got to be very careful about that, friends. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 11. Proverbs 28:11. The rich man is wise in his own conceit, but the poor that has understanding searches him out. How do you feel about your wealth and your riches? Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17, including those who are wealthy Christians, he says, charge them. It's a command. This is a serious thing. Charge them that are rich in this present world that they be not high-minded. You see, we need to stay humble, not proud and arrogant, high-minded. And number two, nor have their hope set on the uncertainty of riches, but on God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. We're going to talk a little bit later about idolizing money. We're not to have our hope set on the uncertainty of riches. Things can be taken away from us pretty quickly, and we've seen some of that over this past year. Freedoms and liberties and the availability of buying certain kinds of things. That type of thing changes very quickly, and we don't need to have our hope set on the uncertainty of riches. And in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 17, the rich members of the church at Laodicea, they said, we have need of nothing. And so you've got to be very careful about that. When we're blessed with prosperity, and we are, we need to be humble. We need to thank God every day for that. We need to thank God for the jobs that we have, the way that we can have our income. We need to appreciate that. We don't need to take it for granted. We need to stay humble. Number two, we need to share it. We need to share it. The tendency of the rich is to keep their prosperity for themselves. In that same passage of 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17, Paul goes on to say that they, that's the rich in this present world, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, that they be ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on the life which is life indeed. That's true living, is giving. Rich in good works, ready to distribute. Give it away. We can't take it with us. In the same chapter, 1 Timothy 6 and verse 7, for we brought nothing into the world, For neither can we carry anything out, but having food and covering we shall be therewith content. But they that are minded to be rich fall into a temptation and a snare and many foolish and hurtful lusts, such as drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, which some reaching after have been led astray from the faith and have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. We can't take it with us, friends. We can use it to take care of ourselves, and we can use it to take care of others around us and share. Share what God gives us. Very important. And I think about in Matthew chapter 27 and verse 57, Joseph of Arimathea, he's called a rich man. And he had his own tomb that he had bought for himself, but he gave that to Jesus. In Matthew 27 and verse 57, when even was come, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. And he gave Jesus his own new tomb. He shared. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 16, written to Christians, we need to be willing to share what God gives us with others. Hebrews 13 and verse 16, but to do good and to communicate or to share, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. So number two, share it. Don't hoard it up for yourselves. Number three, don't idolize it. The tendency of the rich is to focus on their prosperity, not on their soul. They bow down to their things rather than their maker. And that is a big problem. We just read 1 Timothy chapter 6, 9 and 10, the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. People are not taking care of their soul, the most important part of their life. Jesus said on one occasion, what does it matter if a man gain the whole world and lose his soul? What does it matter? So we've got to be very careful about that. So many people will idolize as if it's their God. The almighty dollar is their God. And we see that all the time. People don't have time for the one true God. They could make time. They don't want to make time. Their time is spent making money, and any free time is spent spending it. And God is not considered. Turn with me to Psalm 62 and verse 10. Psalm 62, verse 10. Trust not in oppression, and become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart thereon. If riches increase, set not your heart thereon. And yet, that's what it's all about for so many people. The rich and the wealthy, it's about making more and more money. Often, even they themselves are empty inside. I've known of many, many cases of rich athletes, rich Hollywood stars, rich music stars, rich politicians, billionaires, and you'll hear some story about how that they OD'd on cocaine or heroin. They took their own life. Why? They have a lot of money. They're rich. They're billionaires. They're empty inside. They're not taking care of that which is important. Proverbs 11 and verse 28, he that trusts in his riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as the green leaf. And so people have all kinds of money, but even they are empty inside. And it's, like I said earlier, it's some of the richest people in this country who are promoting some of the most immoral principles and ideologies and practices. They do not have God in their life. Their God, small g, is their money. And they're hurting themselves and everybody around them. We read about the rich young ruler. And we read about how that he could have come and followed Jesus, but he chose not to. He chose to focus on his money. In Luke chapter 16, Jesus tells the story of the rich man and Lazarus. And the rich man had a lot of fine things in life, but his soul was not right with God. Luke 16, 19, now there was a certain rich man, and he was clothed in purple and fine linen, faring sumptuously every day. And a certain beggar named Lazarus was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. Yea, even the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and that he was carried away by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in Hades he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame. So notice, first of all, that he had all kinds of riches. He was taking care of his physical life, but his soul wasn't right with God. He wasn't taking care of his soul. The second thing that we need to notice is that both people die. Whether you're rich or poor, all people die. It is appointed unto man once to die, then comes the judgment. Hebrews 9, 27. So we're all going to die. Third thing we need to notice is after we die, we live on in a place called Hades, the intermediate realm between this life and the next life, the judgment day. We live on after we die. We're not just completely dead and non-existent. And then the next thing we need to notice is if our soul is not right with God, we're in torment. And if we've taken care of the material things of our life, our house and our car and our clothes and our money and all of that, but we haven't made our soul right with God through obedience to the gospel, then when we die, we're going to live on, but in a place called torment. So we've got to get our priorities straight and quit idolizing material things. We have to put a priority on our soul. That's what's important. A fourth principle that is very important is that in the day of prosperity, not only do we need to stay humble and share it and don't idolize things, but we need to be happy and content. The tendency of the rich is to complain even in their prosperity. Do you know that some of the most angry people I know are rich? The complainers, the angry ones, the people who are always in the media bashing someone, upset about this, upset about that, they are rich. What's happened is they've gotten spoiled and selfish and ungrateful, and they're always complaining and murmuring. And they complain about our country. They complain about their fellow Americans. They complain about all kinds of things. There are some legitimate immoral things out there to complain about and to address with the truth of God's word. I'm not opposed to that. But that's not what's happening from some of these rich people. In Psalm 144, verse 12, Psalm 144, verse 12. When our sons shall be as plants grown up in their youth, and our daughters as cornerstones hewn after the fashion of a palace, when our garners are full, affording all manner of store, and our sheep bring forth thousands and ten thousands in our fields, when our oxen are well laden, when there is no breaking in and no going forth, and no outcry in our streets, happy is the people that is in such a case, yea, happy is the people whose God is Jehovah. We need to be happy with all of our prosperity, and we need to believe in God and obey Him. And that'll be our next point in just a minute. But we need to be happy. And we need to appreciate what we have, because we are literally the richest nation in the world. Even in bad times, like that has happened over this past year, we are still the richest nation in the world. And on average, each person in this country is very well off, especially compared to the rest of the world. So we need to be happy and content and grateful and appreciative. Turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. Ecclesiastes 5, 19 and 20. Every man also to whom God has given riches and wealth, and has given him power to eat thereof, and to take his portion and to rejoice in his labor, this is the gift of God. For he shall not much remember the days of his life, because God answers him in the joy of his heart. We need to be happy for what we have. I have been to other countries in my lifetime doing preaching work. I've seen poverty in Mexico. I've seen poverty in the Philippines. And we need to appreciate what we have. Some of the most basic things that we have in our life are much more valuable than what people have in other countries. So be happy and content. And then last of all, in the day of prosperity, we need to remember God. The tendency of the rich is to forget about God. They forget about God's blessings, they forget about God's work, and they forget about God's word. In the book of Deuteronomy, several places, God through Moses warns Israel that when you get over into the land of Canaan and you have your homes and your lands and your prosperity, don't forget God. Deuteronomy 8, 11 through 19 is one of those examples. And people just forget God, and they will often forget about His word. When the word is planted in their heart, Matthew 13, 22, the parable of the sower, the riches of this life will choke it out. And so, obey God today. Obey the gospel. Abraham and Joseph of Arimathea and Zacchaeus, they were all rich individuals, but they were also faithful to God. Friends, you can be prosperous and faithful to God. If you've seen that prosperity has been getting in the way of you coming to God and serving God, let us help you to make that change. Let's get together and obey God. Let's keep prosperity in its place and be humble, share it. We're not going to idolize it. Be happy, and we're going to remember to obey God each and every day. And if we can help you to do that, friends, let's get together and study God's word so that we can be right with God in the day of prosperity. Thank you for joining us, and have a good day.